Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, our level of outdoor activity has increased, but our number of close contacts has stayed the same. That's just one of the findings of the latest round of ESRI's social activity measure. This all comes following CMO Tony Holohan warning yesterday about what he called anticipatory behaviour as the government looks to ease restrictions in early May. Meanwhile, the National Transport Authority has put out a statement to remind customers that under Level 5 restrictions, the 25% passenger capacity limit is still in place. We're going to speak now to Anne Graham, Chief Executive of the National Transport Authority, and in a moment we'll also be joined by Pete Lunn, Head of the ESRI's Behavioural Research Unit. Anne, I'll come to yourself first, and thank you very much for joining us this evening. As I say, the NTA has put out a statement saying that the easing of COVID-19 restrictions in recent weeks has led to an increase in demand for some public transport services. What sort of an increase are you looking at?
Well, we saw that once the schools came back on the 12th of April and some construction, we saw a 29% increase in passenger journeys compared to the previous week, which was an Easter holiday week. So obviously demand was lower at that stage. But as expected, we saw an increase in demand, as I said, of that level. And we've slowly seen demand increase since the early in the year. But that was a step up in terms of transport demand. But as I said, it was expected, given the number of people that were travelling to school and using public transport to get to school.
And were the public transport services able to deal with that increase?
Well, yes, we had planned for it, and we are operating with a reduced service generally, but we have additional fleet to be able to respond to any hotspots that have occurred. So we were able to put in additional services based on where people were travelling to and from at peak times. So we were able to meet the demand that came on the early days of the 12th of April. And we've been able to kind of meet that demand since then.
And do you think that increase in demand is basically solely down to those two things that you've identified, or is there sort of a wider move towards people on the move more? I mean, are people going into work more or maybe travelling further afield now they can get outside of their 5K maybe for a walk or a visit or whatever it might be?
Yeah, like primarily it is the schools and some construction activity, but there probably is an underlying kind of increase in the number of people with, as you said, going out for a walk. And certainly last weekend, which was a good weekend, good weather, certainly more people were on the move to try and get to some of the nice places in their county. As a result, like public transport services were very busy. So we're very conscious now that the weather is going to improve this weekend. And we just want to remind customers that we only have a quarter of what we normally have available to travel this weekend. And just to remind them that maybe if possible, could they consider walking or cycling to their beauty spot and leave the public transport available for those that have to make essential journeys.
And sorry, that was going to be my next question. What is the situation? We've all sort of forgotten at this stage, I think, or a lot of us have, what the rules are around public transport under Level 5. Is it essential journeys only on public transport?
Well, Level 5 restriction is essential journeys and those that have to make necessary journeys, essential workers that obviously have no option but to use public transport to get to their workplace. So at peak times, we just remind customers to, where possible, leave the public transport capacity available for school children and essential workers and those making necessary journeys. And that will allow us to be able to meet the demand for those particular workers. But, you know, obviously people do want to get out and about, get beyond what their 5K restrictions. You know, it's very hard for me to be saying and trying to encourage people not to use public transport, but that's not what we want to be saying. But
it's a bit of a mixed message, isn't it, Anne? Because on the one hand, it's meant to be essential journeys only, but on the other hand, there is no other hand really, is there? If it's meant to be essential journeys only, then what we should be hearing is don't get on a train or a bus if you want to go to the beach.
But what we're saying is that travel with outside of your 5K is allowed under the current restrictions lifting.
But it's not an essential journey.
What we're asking is that if people could and want to use public transport to make that journey, just consider doing it outside the peak hours. And to leave the peak capacity available for those that have to make those essential journeys and for school children as well. But recognising that people do need to move about and do want to get outside their county, but we would ask them maybe to consider walking and cycling, particularly at peak times, and so that's what we're saying. And
so how is it going to work now if we take this weekend, for example, and as you say, we're expecting really good weather this weekend and people have gone out of their minds in their own 5K and they want to get on the move, and say people want to come to Howth. I know last weekend or the weekend before, there was a huge surge of people out to Howth, yes. as an example, and they want to get the dart out to Howth. None of those being essential journeys. They just want to get out and get a bit of sun and have a nice walk around. Are they being turned away, or are you having a situation where you're getting packed carriages? Is that happening? Is that allowed to happen, or how are you managing it?
Where possible, the operators are trying to manage the capacity on each bus, each train, each Lewis. But obviously, that's very difficult when you have large numbers of people wanting to travel at a particular time, particularly on a very open system like the Lewis. So that's why we're advising customers before they consider travelling this weekend to say that, you know, the capacity is not available at the level that we would normally like it to be available. And just to plan ahead in terms of their journey, consider whether it's essential at this weekend, and consider could they put off that journey for another few weeks when we hope to be in a position to offer more capacity for their journeys.
Yeah, we have a text in here from one of our listeners saying, my sister just got off the dart. She's a teacher. She was travelling home from work. She said the dart was packed with people off to the beach. And I think we're seeing quite a lot of that. And I just wonder, you know, are we in a situation where public transport in that instance, and perhaps again this weekend, could become a real danger spot for people in terms of transferring the disease or transmitting the disease?
Well, that's why we are alerting people to the fact that there are capacity restrictions in place.
Yeah. I've heard that message, and I think you've been very clear in that you're asking people to reconsider.
The government have set out that we are still in the middle of the pandemic, and there is a level 5 restriction in place on public transport. And we are trying to manage it as best we can to ensure that the available capacity is used for those essential workers and school children, but recognising the fact that people do want to travel for social activity.
And I suppose my question on that, Anne, is does there need to be a more practical recognition of what people are likely to do when the sun is out and they've been stuck in their 5K and now they get a chance to travel somewhere to the beach, whatever it might be, rather than asking them nicely just not to do that, which I know is what you're doing, do you need to either put in place more staff at, you know, dart stations or Lewis stations to stop those carriages getting filled?
There will be more staff.
Or do you need to put on more capacity in terms of allowing more people to travel?
Well, we have done as much as we can in terms of capacity. And as I've said, the capacity is restricted by the amount that we can put on in terms of each vehicle. And we have put in place, and there will be other staff to try and ensure that the least amount of people, you know, in terms of the 25% travel on each vehicle. But we are also asking our customers to take some responsibility as well for the journeys that they are making, and alerting them to the fact that this capacity restriction is still in place, so that they take some responsibility in terms of the journeys that they are making and ensuring that those journeys are as safe as possible.
Is that not fair, just though? Is it not just passengers?
For those as individuals, Sarah, but for those that are working, the public transport operators that have been managing to try and keep the services working all through this pandemic. And we'd ask customers to be respectful of the operators, to be respectful and consider when they're making journeys this weekend and also into next week. So that's all we are trying to do today, Sarah, is just to alert people that we have this restriction in place and to take that into account when they're considering the journeys that they're making this weekend.
Okay. And do you think that is fair to ask people to do that, given everything that everyone has been through, to ask them when they are finally allowed to travel, to not travel on a nice sunny weekend?
It's very difficult for me to be saying to anybody, you know, not to travel. But I also have responsibility to try and ensure that the public transport system operates in as safe a way as possible through this pandemic, and that our operator staff are also respected, and you know that people will respect them as they are trying to impose the restriction that's in place by government. So, like, and it's very hard for me as somebody who tries to encourage people to use public transport yeah. to be now not discouraging people, because I'm sure I'll be on your program in a few weeks' time when we get beyond this pandemic and encouraging people to get back onto our public transport system.
And there is also the reality, isn't there, that a lot of people don't have any other choice but public transport. So this is disadvantaging those people who don't have access to a car, perhaps. People can hop in their cars all they want and travel to the beach if they want, but people can't get a bus or a train.
And that's why we recognise that where possible, that if anybody has an alternative for those that cannot accept a veil of public transport, yes, that should be kept free for those that okay. do not have a choice. And like, it's very difficult to be saying this, Sarah, but really we do want to encourage people to really think before they make their journey, have they an alternative? And I'm be happy to come back onto your program in a few months' time, I hope, and to be encouraging those people to come back onto public transport.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us to talk us through all of that this evening. It's a little complicated, as you say, in terms of the messaging, Anne, but yes. I do understand what you're trying to say, and thank you for joining us with that this
Thanks
evening.
I'll
go
thank
to yourself
you.
Now, Pete Lunn, who's also waiting there patiently on the line. And I know you've got new research in, Pete, in terms of how people are feeling and acting in around this stage of the restrictions and the lockdown. What do we know in terms of public compliance with the restrictions at this point?
Yep. Good evening, Sarah. So actually, in all honesty, this is the first round of data collection on the social activity measure, which we undertake, the ESRI undertakes for the Department of the Taoiseach. It's the first round we've done since the Taoiseach's announcement on the 30th of March, and it covers the week after Easter. That's when the data was collected. And it's very encouraging. I mean, there was some worry that there would be a sort of surge in activity and risky activity, and we didn't see that at all, actually. We find that the level of close contacts has remained constant over that period. The amount of social activity in terms of the numbers of people from outside the household that people are meeting has remained constant. So there hasn't been a sudden kind of surge. There have been some increases, and most particularly that in outdoor activity. But in many ways, you know, that's a good thing. I mean, if it's a choice between people increasing their activity indoors or outdoors, outdoors is absolutely where we want them to be active. And that, you know, is very much part of the strategy of lifting these restrictions. So I think there's some encouraging evidence here, actually.
Has there been any increase in people visiting in each other's homes?
No, not since there was. So that was a real concern. Between February and March, we did see an increase in the number of visits to homes, particularly social visits. Now, that's a concern because that's a highly risky environment. We want those people not to be doing that. We want them to be meeting outside where it's lower risk if they have to meet at all. And if they're doing that, get outside, be moving, be active. It's better for you anyway. We want people not to be engaging in those social visits. Now, despite the fact we got the announcement and the lifting of restrictions, which you might then think, or lifting of some restrictions that you might then think would be a sort of signal that the world is safer and that this is okay, we didn't see any increase in the numbers of those social visits that were occurring, certainly to the week after Easter. I mean, there's about a 10-day lag on our data. So we don't yet have data since the reopening of the full reopening of schools. And the next round of data will give us some idea what impact that had. But so far, it's encouraging. And that message about, you know, not meeting in homes and getting outside seems to have got through and seems to have had some impact.
Okay, and yet we heard the Chief Medical Officer Tony Houlihan talking last night at the NPHET briefing about the danger of anticipatory behaviour. We know restrictions are going to be eased hopefully soon, and the idea that people might move a little ahead of those restrictions actually being eased.
Yeah, and that's clearly a danger because we have seen rises in activity before announcements previously based on the expectation that there would be a change. I think it really kind of depends what we mean, though. I mean, one of the problems here is that as we suggest that we're going to ease these restrictions, the danger is people take that as a signal about the level of risk. And one of the things we know from the behavioral data is that one of the primary drivers of behavior is people's general level of anxiety, their worry about the prevalence of the disease. So if they take those expectations as a kind of signal as to how dangerous it is, how much risk there is out there, then there is a danger that they slacken off. And we really don't want people to do that. And the reason we don't want people to do that is the current context we are in is particular. And that is, we just have to stick with these restrictions. I mean, we're easing them a bit, but we have to stick with them just that bit longer for the vaccine to kick in. We are in this window now where if we just overdo it and we get a little bit too much social activity and a little bit too much risk and non-compliance, then there's a danger of a fourth wave before that vaccine kicks in. So in this particular time, I can absolutely see why Dr. Holland's saying what he is.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining us to talk us through all of that. That's Pete Lunn, who's a behavioural research analyst with the ESRI. We'll take a break.